Wednesday afternoon, time for our bi-monthly conversation with MyBiz senior writer Mark Sanchez. How are you?
I am well. Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you. I know all eyes this week in West Michigan are on Perrigo. The pharmaceutical company is the target of a hostile takeover.
Yeah, and I guess the best way to describe this is in the three words. It is on. Mylan NV, which is run out of Pittsburgh, but domiciled over in Europe in the Netherlands, it wants Perrigo. It wants to buy Perrigo and grow its own company. And Perrigo has repeatedly said, no, thank you. You're not offering enough value for the company, and we think we have a better chance for the future, a brighter future as a standalone company. And what has happened is Mylan is taking this straight to the Perrigo shareholders in this hostile takeover bid. Really, formally, it's been going on since March, April, but it really formally now, under the laws in Ireland that regulate this process, started this past Monday. It's a tender offer that has gone directly to the Perrigo shareholders. And if you own shares in Perrigo, you now have until November 13th to decide. Do I want Perrigo to stay as it is, as a company that's been growing well, has a great future, or do I want to sell my shares and get the money that they're offering for my shares, and Mylan then takes over Perrigo if it can acquire more than 50% of the outstanding shares?
However, there was a statement released from the head of the corporation.
And there have been some dueling press releases and statements in the last couple of weeks on this. And Perrigo's really limited in what it can do now to fend this off, because it's working under Irish takeover rules, which are not quite as stringent and do not offer as much protection to Perrigo as U.S. law. But Perrigo, and this is kind of somewhat interesting, it said the Perrigo board will assess Mylan's offer. Right now, the board has strongly been against this. It has advised shareholders to take no action in relation to the offer. But then it says the Perrigo board within 10 business days will assess Mylan's offer and then advise shareholders of its recommendation on what to do. So there's a little bit of a window there that maybe we need to reconsider, or maybe not. You know, there hasn't been a whole lot of communication coming out of Perrigo since this all began, other than these formal statements. So we'll see what the Perrigo board ultimately decides, whether it holds on to that view of, no, this undervalues the corporation and we wish to remain as a standalone and we're going to urge our shareholders to oppose this, or maybe there's some kind of a window, no matter how small or little, that perhaps they can still do something. And then there's been some speculation in some of the major business media that's been following this that perhaps Perrigo will try to find a white knight. This is all going to get played out over the next couple of months, and as I pointed out to both people, this is an iconic corporation here in West Michigan. I don't think there's ever been a situation where we've had a century-old-plus corporation become the target of a hostile takeover bid. And we'll see how it plays out between now and mid-November.
For our listeners not familiar with a white knight, explain that.
That's where basically you go out and you find somebody else who makes a better offer, bigger offer, more value that you can get acquired by under friendly terms.
And tomorrow is a big day to find out a little bit more of where this may be heading.
Well, there's a couple of presentations. CEOs of publicly held corporations do these presentations to investor conferences all the time. And both Perrigo and Mylan are presenting at an investor conference, I believe, hosted by Morgan Stanley. And I'm sure this will be a topic of conversation in those presentations.
And running businesses, not an easy thing to do. We're looking at the prevailing wage law in the state.
Yeah, and this is one of a couple of issues that, you know, business owners, you may want to pay attention to these two issues in Lansing. One's the prevailing wage law. Another is the tax rate assessed on corporations in Michigan. First, on prevailing wage, it's been in effect for 50 years in Michigan. Basically says for contractors, if you do a state-funded project, public project, you must pay the union scale. Your contractors, a lot of contractors say this just simply drives up the cost of public projects. There's a petition drive, obviously strongly opposed by the labor unions, the trade unions. It's a petition drive to either put this on the ballot or have the legislature repeal this law. I believe they turned in their signatures the other day. Looks to have more than was necessary. The legislature now needs to either go ahead and pass this law, put it into effect, because this is a citizen-initiated petition drive, or the legislature puts this on the ballot, which would probably come in 2016. The other issue is the corporate income tax. This is basically C-Corp companies, corporations. Remember a few years ago when Governor Snyder took office, the legislature approved changes in the state tax code, eliminated that Michigan business tax that universally was really disliked around the state, eliminated the tax on small businesses because the small business owners were paying taxes twice on the same money, both in their business tax and their personal income tax, and then instituted this 6% corporate income tax that your large corporations pay. We've had this little debate going on in Michigan for a while about, hey, we need more money to fix our roads, our bridges, and our infrastructure. There's a group out there that had begun collecting signatures to put this one on the ballot. In a nutshell, raise that corporate income tax from 6% to 11%. That would generate about $900 million a year for road funding. We'll see how this one goes. You know, remember a couple of years ago when there were some citizen-initiated petition ballot proposals, and they all failed miserably. So we'll see where these two go. And they are just issues that, if you're helping run a corporation, if you're a contractor involved in doing some public projects, these are a couple of issues you want to pay attention to over the next year.
It's about curbing costs, and we're seeing a lot of that in health plans. You've written a piece about employers considering high deductible health plans curbing costs.
Yeah, well, this has been something that's been going on for a number of years. You know, we used to all love those health plans we had where we didn't have to pay a share of the premium. We had our $5 copays for prescriptions and office visits, or $10 or whatever. And there is no such thing as a deductible. That's something that folks had years ago with their catastrophic medical plans. Well, over the last decade, high deductible plans have come back, and now they're really gaining traction and becoming kind of the market norm, both not only nationally, but here in Michigan. And for the simple reason, they cost less. Typically, they cost 15-20% less. And we're also in an era where the employees are sharing about 25% of the cost of that monthly premium, which, oh, by the way, premiums, and this is the data from the latest Employers Association survey here in West Michigan, we're talking more than $13,700 a year now for the premium of a family health plan. If it's just a single one-person plan, you're looking at $5,000 a year. That's a lot of money for employers. So they've been shifting over the years now for several years to these high deductible, lower cost plans. And it's not only a cost shift to get the employees, you know, sorry, I can't afford as a small business or business owner to pay all this cost, you're going to have to share it, but there's also that proverbial term skin in the game. It gets the employees thinking about, okay, if I'm paying more out of pocket, how do I use the system? Do I make better choices? Do I start looking for a lower cost, better quality provider? And so it's just a real fundamental change that's been going on for a number of years in this high-cost era of healthcare in America. And pretty much everybody we talked to for the story this week in MIBiz says this is something that's going to continue. More employers and different types of benefit packages, but there is just a steady migration over the years that will continue toward more folks using these high-deductible health plans.
And having skin in the game is all well and good, but are we seeing prices stabilize at all, or are health costs still continuing to rise?
Depends how you look at the data. There has, in the last couple of years, been a moderation of what's called the medical cost trend. This is basically medical claims. And most of that health premium you pay is pegged to those medical claims. You know, that health insurer, if its medical claims go up 10%, you know, because folks are filing, or they're getting care, they're sick or injured, they're getting care. Well, if that medical claims goes up 10%, well, then you can pretty much bet that employer's premiums is going to go up in a similar way. There has been some data the last few years showing that this has been moderating, that healthcare spending in America that's been out of sight for 25 years is not growing quite as fast as it has in past years. Why is that? We have an obesity epidemic and a diabetes epidemic. We have high rates of chronic disease in America that really drive these costs up. But yet we're seeing a moderation of this medical cost trend. Part of it is because of this movement to high deductible health plans. When folks are paying more out of their pockets for care, perhaps they're not accessing as much care, or they're making better decisions about when and where. They're not running to the ER for a condition. They're waiting to go to their family doctor or to an urgent care center. There's also some data to suggest that folks who need care are simply deferring that care. So it's an evolving situation, and it's one of these things that how will it affect things in the long term? Now that everybody has to have health coverage, we're cutting under the Affordable Care Act. Many more people have coverage, and many less are uninsured. So how's this playing out in the long run? But yes, there is a moderation in healthcare spending. Is it because of we're doing a better job keeping people healthier, or is it because folks just are not going to the doctor or the hospital as much because they have higher out-of-pocket costs? There's data to suggest it's perhaps a mixture of both.
Mark Sanchez, senior writer, MyBiz, thank you so much.
And we'll talk to you again in 2 weeks.